track 12, and now we come to the feature item. And for this week's, its regular soundings contributor, Liz, brings us the story of Mary Ann McCracken. Born in 1770, she devoted her life to promoting social justice, whether improving the lives of working people, gaining greater independence for women, or supporting the abolition of slavery in the USA. Hers was a name that was new to me, and it only recently was she recognised by a statue in her home city of Belfast.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello again, it's Liz from East Kilbride here. My choice today is Mary Ann McCracken. Perhaps less familiar to many of you, but a woman who deserves to be better known, and in fact her native city of Belfast has recently realised that and erected a very large statue to honour her work. And what was her work? It was a work of decades of effort on behalf of working people, ordinary people, and also the people in the United States who were still suffering under slavery. So a lot to mention to you. And I think the simplest way for me to manage this is to try and give you the main themes from her life, which began in Belfast in 1770. She was from a middle-class, enterprising Protestant family who still supported the dreams of a united Ireland. And that's really the context for her life and some aspects of her work. Her own mother was quite important in being an outspoken woman who wanted women to have chances. And Mary learnt from that, and in fact growing up decided that would be the first great active theme of her life. She set up a textile business with her sister at a time when the wages were good, the profits were good, and the prospects for the future were strong. The textile trade then went into a serious decline, and in the face of diminishing profits and really eventually the end of the business, Mary Ann fought to maintain the business as long as possible, taking the very modern approach that her employees were needing her to keep going as long as possible. As Mary Ann said, "Our women, their work is so confined and so few roads are open to them that although this road is thorny, we will keep this business going as long as we can." So that's really flagging up one of our very earliest interests. The political interest in a united Ireland led her into some dark family situations. One of her brothers, Harry, had no problems in using violence in order to obtain his ambition of a united Ireland. You can imagine the family discussions over the dinner table. Mary, however, although she supported this final aim, never supported using violence. In her phrase, "What is morally wrong can never be politically right." So while her brother went on into an armed rebellion, and in fact he was a leader of the 1798 rebellion, she never wanted violence. Her brother, Harry, was caught. He was faced with execution. She tried to arrange a passage for him to escape from Ireland over to the United States, but he was rearrested and sentenced to execution on the scaffold. Mary Ann, despite her political differences, had a great love for her brother, and she walked through the streets with him as he walked to the scaffold, which must have been a profound ordeal for her. Losing her brother was the personal loss, but a month after his death, there was some hope brought into her world. because she found out that her brother had an illegitimate daughter for whom he had not been able to make any financial provision. Mary Ann, who never seemed to have a husband or an interest in marriage, brought Maria, this wee niece, into her household, and Maria was in effect her daughter. And even in her later years, Maria cared for Mary Ann, and she lived with Maria right till the very end of her life. Another theme was this advocacy for women to have fairer chances. She read the books of Mary Wollstonecraft and the idea of women having independence and liberty, and she shared these ideals. And her way of achieving this was to work at it. She was certainly not an idle, rich woman, just dreaming of ideas. She put the work in, and that was work for decades, writing articles, gathering information, improving knowledge of the real world of working people. Another lovely phrase from Mary Ann for you. It's better to wear out than rust out. This was indeed an action woman. Another theme in her life was the fact that she had, from her early years, had greater access to education than most women at the time in Northern Ireland. She went, in fact, to what for that time was a very progressive play school, where boys and girls were educated together, where they could both learn mathematics and science and literature, where they were encouraged to learn through play, where every day there was a specific period of outdoor play. Now, for some of you who have children or grandchildren, this may sound quite like the modern ideas of nursery school and primary education, and that's indeed what she had. In fact, some of the articles I've read claim that Mary Ann's experience was closer to the more modern ideas of the Montessori schools. Whether they were going to be more broadly available at that time or not, well, I really doubt it. And of course, one of the abiding horrors of schools for any class of society in Britain at that time was the use of corporal punishment, the use of the rod. This was never allowed in the early progressive schools to which Mary Ann went along. The great advocate of this teaching was an Irish educating pioneer called David Manson. Now, there's another new name for you, and perhaps another man of ideas for me to explore. This work to try and encourage education was an ongoing theme, as well as what seems to have been her daily trips along to a very grand Georgian mansion on the outskirts of Belfast called Clifton House. And Clifton House was the headquarters of the Belfast Charitable Society, which had been visited and indeed inspired by the well-known Quaker reformer Elizabeth Fry. Our woman, our Mary Ann, went along there. She did the traditional things. She gathered in reclaimed clothes. She distributed those that were wearable again, along with extra toys, perhaps, to the poor. But it wasn't just gentle charity work. It was always action. Speaking out about issues, speaking out about sanitation in the poorer areas, about the slum landlords, about the dreadful, dreadful practice still continuing during her lifetime of sending these wee thin, malnourished boys up the chimneys to sweep them. She was fiercely outspoken against the use of children as chimney sweeps. I think, however, I can claim that Mary Ann, who was a lifelong activist for social justice, could perhaps be seen as having a happy ending to her life. Why? Because one of the commitments she had had for decades was that slavery in the United States must end, despite the fact that slavery and the related trade it was bringing to Belfast was bringing money into Belfast. She was more than ready to take up what were perhaps less than easy topics to discuss. She wanted to say this must stop. She worked for the Anti-Slavery Society and wasn't afraid to say, "Where are the other activists? Why aren't there enough people helping me here?" Indeed, she didn't hold back with her words. She wrote a letter to a friend. She was 89 at the time, and she wrote to a friend, "I am so ashamed of Belfast, because Belfast, once so celebrated for its love of liberty, has now sunk so low in the love of filthy money that there are only 16 or 17 female anti-slavery advocates. And I'm an old woman of nearly 90, but I'm still there." The letters were not enough. Mary Ann McCracken, nudging 90, as we said, had lived through the horrors of the famine in Ireland. So she knew about the poverty. She knew about the desperation to make a better life. And for millions of Irish folk, America was the promised land. It seems even that powerful reason to go to the United States didn't hold her back. And she stood there on Belfast docks as the people escaping poverty were boarding ships to the United States and made sure that they knew that the United States was not a perfect land because the United States was still allowing poverty. In her own words again, "America, considered the land of the great and the brave, be more properly styled the land of the tyrant and the slave." Wow. Why did I use this idea of against slavery as the happy ending? Because Mary McCracken passed away in 1866. And I'm happy to tell you that 1 year before her death was the year when the United States of America abolished slavery. She was with her wits till the end of her life, and she wrote letters to say how happy she was that this dreadful practice had finally been abolished. And for a woman who had been through many dark days, who had worked and worked so hard for others, that final abolition of slavery must indeed have given her profound joy in the last year of her life. Her work and her importance are now recognised to a great extent in Belfast. And in March this year, a statue in Belfast city centre was erected to our Mary Ann McCracken. It's not a statue of a woman just standing still. And I think it's very appropriate that the statue is Mary striding along, handing out anti-slavery leaflets, because that's what she was, a woman of action till her final years. Mary Ann McCracken.
TNF Soundings.